Of Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Last week we were in verse 1 through 9. And this chapter opens up with telling us that Abraham was old. How old was he? He was 140 years old, thereabouts. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 140 years old. Sarah has passed away. And he will have somewhere around 35 or so more years before he dies. But God had called him out of his land to go to a land that he would give him. God had promised to make of Abraham a people so great as the sand of the sea, sand of the shore. And here Abraham is 140 years old and he has one son according to that promise. One son. And so it becomes needful, I believe, that Isaac take a wife, begin to have children, that from those children the Lord will rise up a great nation, which will be a great people, as the sand of the sea found all over the world. And so it is needful, we say, or we said last week, that Isaac takes a wife. Wednesday night, I clarified that a little bit. And maybe before I get done this morning, I'll clarify it again. But I hope you remember what Isaac's real need was. I hope you remember, if you're a child of God and if you're saved, on all the things you might list, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. I hope you know what your real need is, what we really need. I hope you remember at least a little bit about our touching on that Wednesday night. So Isaac needs a wife. Abraham has his eldest servant, the servant who he had entrusted to watch over all of his wealth. Abraham has that servant go back to the land that he came from to find him a wife for Isaac from his own people. And Abraham has that servant promise, has that promise swear, has that servant swear that you will not take to Isaac a bride from the land of Canaanites, and nor will you take Isaac back to the land that I came from. And he swears. And that's how our portion of scripture ended last week. He placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And today we're going to read verse 10 through 14 for our text. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels also to drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He swears to Abraham to go and seek Isaac a wife. He swears to the circumstances and the conditions of that oath, and he heads out. And in case you never paid attention, that's a journey of about 500 miles that he's going to have to take to go back to where where Abraham came from, to seek him the wife, the woman that the Lord would lead him to. That was a long journey. We see in this passage of Scripture that he takes a great amount of wealth with him. He takes 10 camels, which were highly prized in that time. He's in charge of all of Abraham's wealth, and the indications are that he took those camels as well as much other things of Abraham's wealth. This is probably what we would call a dowry. He's taking these funds to give to the father of the woman that the Lord was going to lead him to. So he takes this great amount of wealth with him, and he's in charge of all Abraham's wealth, and he leaves to go carry this commission out, if you would. He leaves all the wealth that he's not taking with him behind. Indications are that this servant could be the man identified in chapter 15, verse 2, a man by the name of Eliezer. He was his eldest servant, his oldest servant. Abraham saw him before Isaac came along. Abraham saw him as an heir. As an heir. He says, all I have is this eldest servant. Is he the one? Or are you going to show me someone else? And of course, that was Isaac. Eliezer may be the trusted servant that we read about in this 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. And so he heads out and takes the journey. He gets to Mesopotamia. He gets to the city of Nahor. Who was Nahor? Do you remember who Nahor was? He makes his camels lay down outside the gate by the well of water. For obvious reasons, they needed water. He needed water. But this is where the women were going to come to gather water. This is where they would be found coming. And he positions himself there in preparation of their coming out and hoping that the Lord would identify the woman of promise. And so there he waits. And while he's waiting, verse 12 tells us, there he prayed. There he prayed. There's some things that aren't really clear about this servant. He was a servant. You might say he was a slave. Served Abraham an unknown number of years. We don't know if he was of the like faith. We don't know if he had become a believer in the God of Abraham. I would venture to say he had, because he's able to pray. I don't think an unrighteous heathen who was just a slave would be able to pray with any hopes of being heard if indeed he had not come to believe in the God of Abraham. And he calls him Lord God of my master Abraham. In that he states he's the Lord God of Abraham, but I think it hints at the fact that he identified or believed him as the Lord God also. And he asked the Lord, as he stands here and as he waits by the well of this water, he states here, Lord, bless my servant Abraham. Not praying for himself. He's praying that God would bless his servant Abraham. And Lord, when these women come out to gather their water, as is the custom, as is the time of the day, when these women come out and when one comes past me and I say to her, put your pitcher down and give me something to drink. When this one comes out and I say to her, set your pitcher down, give me something to drink. And when she says, I will give you something to drink. And while I'm giving you something to drink, I'm going to fetch enough water for all of your camels. And my understanding is camels can drink a lot. Camels can store a lot. This was quite the task that this servant is putting out as a sign. And this is going to have to be a special kind of a woman for her to be kind enough and industrious enough to offer him a drink and then say, I'll water all of your camels. And the Lord says, Lord, the servant says to the Lord, Lord, when this woman comes out and I say this and she says this and all this happens, let her be the one. And of course, we will come to find out that that indeed is what she ends up being. We see the servant's prayer. And I can't help but stop and think about this servant. If we say Abraham represents God to us, and we can do that, there are many things in the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Israel, there are many things that illustrate us, God to us, and God's dealing with his people and different things about God. We can see Abraham as God, we can see Isaac as Christ, and we can make a lot of representations in the story and the circumstances that we read of. And if we see Abraham representing God to us, then I would have us this morning see ourselves as we stand before God. As Abraham has full confidence, as Abraham shows he believes in this man, as Abraham says he trusts this man, as Abraham identifies this man as a faithful servant, we can take Abraham as an example of God. We can take ourselves as the servants of the Lord, and we can ask ourselves, and we should ask ourselves, and we need to ask ourselves, are we faithful and true servants as this man? Can God have the same confidence in us that Abraham had in this servant? Are we trustworthy? Are we honest? Now just look at this picture. He's in charge of all Abraham has. That's a lot. That's everything. And as he goes out to find Isaac a wife, he takes with him a considerable amount of money. and he's found trustworthy, and he's found honest in all that belonged unto Abraham, and he was found honest, and he was found trustworthy in all that he took with him as a dowry to find Isaac a wife. And there's so many applications, but I want to simply make that application. If we see God, Abraham as God, and ourselves represented by the servant, are we honest and trustworthy? I think about money. I think about finances. I think about our tithes and our offerings. In God's blessings upon us, all that we have and all that we receive, it's all God's. You get my point? Everything God ever gives you, every dollar, every nickel, every dime, every possession, every physical blessing, everything you have and everything you are is God's and is given to you by God. You can take no glory or credit to yourself. It's God's entrusting of all that upon you. What kind of stewards are we? How honest are we? How honest and trustworthy are we with all that God gives us that belongs to Him? So He gives us everything we have. God, He gives us all that we have. What does He ask back? We would say he asked back the tithe. He asked back that tenth. He gives it all to us and basically gives it all to us to use as we will according to our own desires. And all he asks is that tenth, that tithe back. Well, how do we stand before God in light of all that He gives us, and how do we stand before God in light of that small portion that He asked us to give Him back? Are we honest? Are we trustworthy servants of God in all that He gives us? We just got through everybody's favorite time of the year. And when I say everybody's favorite time of the year, I'm not talking about Easter or the bunny or any of those things. I'm talking about tax time. April 15th. Everybody knows what happens on April 15th. Everybody knows what that indicates to us. And in one way or another, we've all come through tax time. We've had to look at all that God gives us, and we've had to look at all that God asks back, or we've given back. God gives us everything, and we have to acknowledge all that He's given us, and we have to give the government's share. Why do we have to do that? To have a clear conscience. Because God commands us to pay our taxes, to be honest and above board, and not be sneaky or conniving or deceitful. So as we come through this past year and we think about all that God has given us, we think about all that we have given back to Him over the past months, all that He has given to us and all that He tells us we have to pay towards our tax responsibilities, how trustworthy are we? Does God trust you? Are you honest with God? See, I'm not asking you, do I trust you? Are you honest with me? I'm not asking you, does the government trust you? Are you honest with the government or with the IRS agent or with whoever does your taxes? I'm asking you, does God trust you? Can God trust you? Are you trustworthy? This servant of Abraham had found himself trustworthy. Trustworthy. How do we do? Now, just for a second, get off of the dollars and cents. Look more broad at what I'm talking about. Your time, your talents, your abilities, your responsibilities. All that is a part of your life, and all that demands a part of you, and all that demands you give an account before God outside of the financial thought. Are we trustworthy? Are we honest? Are we trustworthy and honest? Are we Eliezers, if that's who this man was? We see Eliezer, if that's who this man was, in verse number 11, kind of coming to the place where the girls are. It's said in verse number 11, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, the time that women go out to draw water. He positions himself where he expects the girls to come out. He lays himself in that place expecting God to hear his prayer, provide Isaac a spouse, and to bless Abraham as God had blessed Abraham so many times before. He positioned himself there for blessing. And I want us to think about that for just a minute. How positioned are we for blessing? Do we live our lives in such a way as to position ourselves in a good place for God to bless us? See, when we moan and groan and sing the blues and we don't think we're being treated right and we don't think we have all that we have or should have, how many times when we moan and groan and sing the blues, is it our own fault? Because we haven't obeyed God, we haven't served God, we haven't been faithful to God, we haven't been honest with God, we haven't positioned ourselves for blessing. There's a great responsibility upon the shoulders of everybody here who names the name of Jesus Christ. There's a great responsibility for you to obey God, to serve God, and to position yourself for Him to bless you. Many times you're not blessed, I'm not blessed, many times because we don't position ourselves for blessing. And in pride and arrogance, you might want to resist that. But if you go to the Scriptures and the Spirit of God is within you, you won't resist it long. What does Matthew 6, verse 33 tell us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay. Seek ye first the kingdom. We know that verse well, Brother Titus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's it going to tell us? And His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? All of these things. All these necessary things you will receive. Does that not speak of responsibility? Does that not speak of positioning ourselves for blessing? If you don't seek first the kingdom of God, you don't have time for God. You don't obey God. You don't submit. You don't yield. Then you're not positioned for Him to bless you. And guess what? He's not going to bless you. He's not going to bless. We're going to reap what we sow. Nothing more, nothing less. God calls us to be in the position of His blessing us. We need to be where the blessings of life are going to come upon us. See, that brings us back to that thought I touched on Wednesday night. And I touched on at the beginning of the message this morning. Brings me back to that thought. What do you need? What do I need? What do we really need this morning as you sit here in this sanctuary? What do you really need? Money? Things? A spouse? A home? A job? A career? No matter what you list, the fact of the matter is you don't need any of those things. What you really need, what I really need, is to glorify God. Put God first. And if we will see that as our greatest need, and indeed we will seek to glorify God, we will position ourselves for Him to bless us, and He's going to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. He's promised to do it over and over again, not just in Malachi. But if you're not trustworthy, if you're not honest, if you're not true and faithful with all that God gives you, and you're not true and faithful and honest with the little bit that He asks back from you, if you're not truly seeking first the kingdom of God and positioning yourself for blessing, blessings aren't going to come. And you see people in the ministry, people who struggle and fuss and same problems over and over again. And you just sometimes want to grab them and shake them. Why can't you see it? You got your priorities messed up. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You're not positioning yourself in a place for God to bless you. And if you're not positioning yourself in a place for God to bless you, God's not going to bless you. And life's going to be a great big drag and a great big struggle. But if you get to the idea that all I need to do is praise God and glorify God and worship God, and then He's going to take care of all this stuff. If we ever get to that place, what you know what God's going to do? He's going to take care of all this stuff. I challenge you by my own testimony and my own witness. I challenge you by the witness and testimony of Abraham and of Eliezer, his servant. I challenge you by many, many testimonies that probably are represented in this room this morning. I challenge you on behalf of the many, many testimonies that are found throughout Scripture. If you'll be trustworthy and honest, the kind of servant that God can rely upon and have confidence in, and you will seek to glorify Him and trust Him, and you'll position yourself for blessing over and over again, you're going to find He does. Let's stand, have a verse of song. We'll sing one verse.